Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. It's Wednesday, May 7th, 2014, and today we're going to be talking about cleaning your house, your favorite thing, huh? Not my favorite thing, but you know, I was talking to a friend of mine the other day about cleaning, and she said that she loves to clean her house because she loves how beautiful it is at the end. And how orderly it is, and how beautiful, like to have a shiny surface on your table. And I thought that was just lovely, because I do like my house to look nice. I do like my house to be orderly and beautiful, and cleaning it is the way to get there. Interesting. So today my guest is Becky, I hope I'm saying this right, Rapinchuk. She'll correct me. I'll ask her. She has a blog named cleanmama.net, and she's written a book called The Organically Clean Home that has 150 recipes for making your own cleaners at home. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. The thing that's different about Becky, though, I'll tell you, is that her book and her website actually organizes you, helps you organize yourself to get your cleaning done in a non-toxic way. And that's the key difference, I think, is actually getting it done. Hi, Becky.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. And how do you say your name?
You said it correctly. It's Rapinchuk.
Rapinchuk, good.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I think about, do you remember the Mary Tyler Moore Show?
I do. I just watched it the other night, actually.
I used to, when I was a kid, the Mary Tyler Moore Show was my favorite show, and every Saturday night, I would be right there to watch the Mary Tyler Moore Show, and you know, there was Ted the newscaster who could never pronounce anything, and I understand exactly the situation, because people come on the show, and suddenly I look at their name, and I go, how am I supposed to say that? Anyway, I can say that because people have difficulty saying my name too when I'm on the radio. They don't know how to pronounce my name. Oh. So Rapinchuk. Okay. Becky Rapinchuk, cleanmama.net. And her book is The Organically Clean Home. Becky, how did you get interested in writing about non-toxic cleaners?
Well, it started a long time ago years ago, I guess, when my oldest sprayed some cleaning product on her face, and I had bought it from watching commercials, and they showed it to be used on high chair tables and tabletops and places where kids were, and that it was supposed to be, you could spray it right around them, and you know, it was totally safe, supposedly. But when she sprayed it all over herself, I panicked a little bit and read the back, and it said you had to call poison control. And that was kind of where I said, oh, hold on. This is marketed for moms, and you don't need to rinse it. You're supposed to spray it on their high chairs. I mean, what they're eating off of, and it's toxic. So that was where I started doing a little investigating, and just started looking for non-toxic cleaners to purchase and safer, more environmentally sound cleaners, and it was pretty expensive because I was trying all these different things, trying to find the right thing that worked. And when I started the process, it was about 8 years ago, and there weren't quite as many options on the market at that point, and frankly, they didn't work very well either. I mean, they just weren't up to my expectations, I guess. So after years of sampling different cleaners and trying to find something that would actually work, that I enjoyed working with, and that I didn't feel like was putting a huge dent in my pocketbook, I started making my own cleaners and realizing that way I would know exactly how much of any given ingredient was in it, what I was using, what it smelled like, what it didn't smell like. That was kind of where that quest came for me. But that was an eye-opening experience and scary nonetheless. That it was, I just had no idea. And I would also say that I tend to err on the side of germaphobe. And so when my daughter was little, I wanted everything to be like, germ-free. Everything that was a real big concern for me too, and So I just really had a hard time coming to grips with the actual, like, cleaning process. It doesn't have to be sanitized. We're not in a hospital. kind of meeting that difference, too. So,
well, I can appreciate all the work that went into this. I've been making my own cleaning products for more than 30 years because when I first became interested in this subject back in 1978, actually, there were no books like yours or mine. And so I couldn't just go to a book and find out, well, how am I supposed to clean my house now if I want to avoid toxic chemicals? And so I just started out with baking soda and vinegar and finding out how to use those in regular soap. And that's still what I clean my house with. So mm-hmm. I'm really interested to read all these other 150 recipes because you're giving recipes for how to do things like, clean your shower head. I've never cleaned my shower head, but you know, I think we probably should. And, and you've got tile cleaner and, citrus wood cleaner and toy cleaner and room freshening spray and all these things that I don't ever do. You're giving me new ways to clean my house.
Yay.
but I know it works. I know that what all these recipes that Becky is giving you in this book, I know that the whole concept works. I know that it works to use baking soda and vinegar and soap and lemon juice. And I mean, she uses about a dozen different non-toxic ingredients, and you just get those basic things and start mixing, and you can very inexpensively make clean your house for most reasons that you might want to clean it and not have any plastic bottles that go to the landfill and all those kinds of things. So this is a really great thing. Do you want to talk anything about, I'd like us to say a little bit about what the toxic chemicals are and problems with toxic cleaning products. Do you want to talk about that or?
Yeah. I mean, I think that the big issue is that if you look at the back of a label of any cleaning product or a lot of cleaning products that are in the store, there's ingredients that you don't recognize, and that the problem is we don't know that maybe it says it's flammable. So you think, well, I'm not going to put it near my heating vent, so I'm fine. But when you actually start to investigate what's in the products, it's so much worse than just being flammable. It's because it's caustic or fumes can be produced if you use this in a small space. If your child gets into it, it could send them to the emergency room or worse. I think that that's what people aren't educated to know that just because it says it's safe for your family doesn't mean that it really is. And you really need to take responsibility for what you're putting into your home and on your kitchen table and in your washing machine, as well as what you're putting back into the environment, too, if it washes down the drain or, those things also leach back into your drinking water. And to me, that's a little short snippet of, the problem with the toxic chemicals.
Well, also, in addition to that, toxic chemicals cleaning products, most cleaning products, because not 100% of them. I mean, there are some things you can go to the supermarket and buy, like Bon Ami is totally non-toxic. But most cleaning products that you're going to see at the supermarket are actually household hazardous waste. If you don't use all of them, you're supposed to take them to the household hazardous waste disposal. They're not supposed to go in the trash. And they're governed by those laws as hazardous waste. And also another thing is that cleaning products are not required by law to even put their ingredients on the label. So if there are some ingredients on the label, there's probably a lot of ingredients that are not listed. And when I first started researching cleaning products, I had to go to industry. We'll take a break and we'll talk a little bit about this more when we come back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Becky Rapinchuk. Her website is cleanmama.net, and you should go there because she has a lot of information. She has a blog. She's got some free stuff that you can download. And she's the author of The Organically Clean Home. And we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Hadd, and today my guest is Becky Rapinchuk. She's at cleanmama.net and the author of The Organically Clean Home. Before the break, we were talking about cleaning products being household hazardous waste. And I actually wanted to say, so all you listeners know, that cleaning products are regulated by the Consumer Product Safety Commission under the 1960 Federal Hazardous Substances Labeling Act. And this is really important to know because every type of product is labeled differently. And cleaning products, the law about cleaning products is that they are not required to list everything on the label, but they are required to put warning labels on, like toxic, extremely toxic, corrosive, sensitizer, danger, warning, caution, and skull and crossbones, like you'll see on drain cleaner has skull and crossbones. Originally, these warning labels meant that they actually meant something, that they showed a degree of toxicity. But over time, that's all been eroded. So here we have a situation where we have probably the most toxic products in your home that children can, if they're under the sink, they can just grab them and drink them and be very harmed. But the warning labels, we can't find out what's in them because it's not required for the manufacturers to reveal that. The warning labels are not always correct. And as Becky mentioned, they're being advertised as being safe when they aren't. And all of these are reasons to just skip them altogether, the commercial products. Now, of course, there are some products that are much better than the most toxic ones and some brands that you'll find at the natural food store that these are immensely better. But as Becky said, and I totally agree with her, this is really an area of life where you want to know what's in the product. You really want to know what's in the product. And when you make them yourselves, you have total control over what goes in it. You can make a product that is unscented. You can make it scented with an essential oil that is one that you like. And you just have total control. And I like having total control over my environment. So, Becky, let's talk about some of your cleaning recipes. But before that, let's talk about organizing, because mm-hmm. I think that probably that it's just as important to know how to organize your cleaning so that you feel in control of what you're doing and that you know it's getting done as it is what products you're using. So give us some first hints about organizing.
Well, I think having a cleaning routine is key. And my cleaning routine is essentially in my head at this point, and I just know on Mondays I clean the bathrooms and on Tuesdays I dust, and I have specific jobs that I take care of around the home every day and then specific jobs that I rotate through the week. And having that organized just makes it sort of like on autopilot, and it just keeps it easier. It doesn't mean that it doesn't make it as big of a deal as you might think it is.
Well, you know, when I first saw this, I thought, a cleaning routine, gee, you do something every day. How do you find the time? And then mm-hmm. I thought, you know, she must be cleaning all day long. But then I thought, no, actually, what happens to me is that I'm very busy with my work, as many people are, and I'm sure you are too. But I'm so busy with that I'm not even thinking about this. And then I get to the end of the week and it's Saturday and it's like, I've got a load of laundry and I need to dust and I need to do this and I do that. And it doesn't all get done. And so I can see that if I were to integrate cleaning into my life on a daily basis and say, okay, I'm going to do my laundry on Monday, that it could actually get done because I could put in a load. And fortunately, I work at home, so I could put in a load of laundry, come and work, take out the laundry, and it just gets integrated into life instead of piled up.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's the key. And if, you know, if you hadn't worked on hadn't been doing a cleaning routine and you decided you're going to follow mine, so Mondays we clean all the bathrooms. So, and that's the big task for the day. And it might take you longer. But if you start cleaning your bathrooms every Monday, it's much quicker yeah. because it's not all piled up and there isn't a whole bunch of toothpaste on the mirror that you have to clean off. Or it's just a quick wipe down, quick spray, quick clean, and move on. And it's not, I think that everyone's busy having to waste time cleaning on a whole Saturday or before you're having company come and have to throw your whole house into shape before they come. It's a shame because it can be a 10 to 15 minutes a day sort of a routine if you just start making yourself do that. So that's the, yeah. you know, where the organization part of the cleaning routine comes in. And it's, I have one that works really well for me. It works really well for readers of my blog. And instead of trying to reinvent the wheel, I always suggest just try mine and yeah. then just decide what doesn't work for you. And yeah. tweak it, you know, for yourself. But just start with one, because if you're anything like me, if I'm actually working, like trying to formulate this cleaning routine, I'd get all caught up in the formulation of it, and then by the time it comes to clean, I'm sick of it. I don't want to do it anyway. So just, you know, try someone's cleaning routine, see what works for you and what doesn't. And you know, another thing that I think is really helpful is to do a load of laundry every day. And, you know, if it's one person and, you know, it's just you in your house or, you and a spouse, you might not have to do a load of laundry every day. But if you have three kids like I do, if you don't do laundry every day, you'll be doing it for an entire day.
Yeah, yeah. I've had that experience. I noticed, talking about routines, one of the things that I decided that I needed to do in my life some time ago was to learn how to manage my money. And, you know, you can read all kinds of books about managing your money, but I figured out that what I needed to do was manage it in a way that worked for me. And it was kind of this gradual process of, to not doing my bookkeeping at all, to, and you know, just like looking at the account statement at the end of the month, to keeping track of it monthly and then keeping track of it weekly. And then I went to keeping track of it daily. And so like every morning I would get up and say, okay, I'm going to take this 10 minutes and just see where I am financially. And that actually ended up working out the best because every day I knew how much money I had, how much money I needed, what bill I need to pay, and nothing was late and I wasn't overdrawn and any of those things. And so I think that it was just a matter of learning what worked best for me. And I think that now you're bringing to my attention that I could apply the idea of a routine to cleaning also, and then that my house would always be in order and clean. We need to go to break. We need to go to break, but we'll be right back. I'm Deborah Lynn Dapp, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio. My guest is Becky Rappinchuk of CleanMama.net, and she's the author of Organically Clean Home, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Becky Rappinchuk. She's at CleanMama.net and the author of Organically Clean Home. And she, as I said, she's got lots of stuff to download. She's got some free stuff, some pay stuff, all about organizing and non-toxic cleaners you can make at home. So, Becky, I'm looking at, in your book, at the section called A Cleaning Routine That Works. Why don't we just go through the cleaning routine and of what you do each day, and we'll talk a little bit about how you do these things in addition to the fact that you do them. So, on Monday, what you do is sweep the floors. So tell us how you sweep the floors.
Well, every day there's four tasks that I do. And so sweep the floors is one. And that's usually kind of like more of a check of the floors. So under the kitchen table is typically a hot spot for crumbs and different things that need to be cleaned up. So we do a little sweep or vacuum. Under the kitchen table, sometimes the mudroom needs a little sweep. And if there's anything in the bathrooms that needs a specific sweeping, usually I just wait and do that on my actual vacuuming day. But every day I just kind of do a visual quick check of the floors.
Okay, and then you do a declutter.
Yeah, and declutter for me is anything on the surfaces that doesn't belong there. So the stack of mail that needs, you know, to be put away. The kids come home, empty their backpacks, and there's more paper than should be.
Yeah.
So that needs to be sorted. Most of it just ends up being recycled, but it's I don't let those sorts of things clutter up. So, and then if there's like little toys that are on the table, there are different things that just need to be tidied up and picked up for the day. I find that doing a declutter, typically it'll be like right around like in the morning after everyone goes to school or before they go to school, I can have, if I can get them to cooperate to do a little declutter, or before bed, we definitely every night set the timer for 5-10 minutes and run around and pick stuff up and then get ready for bed. So it's part of our...
I think you just said an important thing. I was thinking about time. You said you set the timer and then you just do it for that period of time. I think that comes into play with people thinking like me that we don't have time to do this. I have a friend who does things in 15-minute increments, which is even too long for me. But she plays the cello, and she has given herself 15 minutes a day to practice her cello. Even though she's very, very, very busy, she takes that 15 minutes to practice her cello. And she even was writing a book 15 minutes a day. That's her time period. That she, if she wants to do something, she can give herself 15 minutes. But I was even thinking, like, I once timed how long a minute is, and a minute actually sounds like not very much time, but it would be amazing. It's amazing to set a timer for 1 minute and see how much you can get done in a minute. And I was thinking, even if I just said, okay, I'm going to take 1 minute to just look around and see how much I can put away in 1 minute. When I first read declutter, the first thing that came to my mind was somebody having a very, very messy house. And I don't have a messy house, but I have lived with people who are very, very messy. And, but there are things like I'll come home and if there's a clean surface, like my dining table, and I'm tired, I'll just drop everything on the dining table. And it needs to, you know, get put away. And so even if I were to take 1 minute or 2 minutes and just handle those little things on a daily basis, I think that would really work.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think even if you were someone that had it, incredibly messy house and you didn't know where to start, if you just said, I'm going to declutter for 5 minutes every day, and it could take you, it might take you 6 months.
Yes, but your house would change.
But it will change, and then that process will continue, and it'll just be easier every single day.
Yes, yes. I think that's a really important point. Okay, so then the next item, number 3 of your 4, is to do a load of laundry, which we already mentioned, and then wipe counters. But what I'd like you to tell us is what you have a, let's talk about the products that you make to do your laundry, because you mentioned here having a laundry detergent. Do you know what page that's on? I just want to go look at.
Let me see here. Okay, I have a couple different recipes.
Where are they?
But on page 108 is where it starts. And that's a lemon and clove powdered laundry soap.
There it is. Okay, so tell us about that recipe.
Yeah, and it's I use Castile soap, a bar of that, 2 cups of borax, 2 cups of washing soda, a cup of baking soda, and then lemon essential oil and clove essential oil. The bar soap is grated, and I just do that by hand, and then carefully mix the powders together. I do it in a large plastic bag, just because you don't want to inhale any of that dust, no matter what what it is. Yeah. It's not. So I just mix it up that way and put it in a jar and just add like a 2 tablespoons per load to my wash. And it's a great formula. It completely dissolves and I really like the addition of the Castile soap, the vegetable-based soap to it.
So you don't have any problem with hard water? Well, maybe you don't have hard water, but sometimes people have difficulty using soap-based products in hard water.
You know, I haven't, and I've tested it in hard water, soft water, and it's the same result, that the soap completely dissolves and
haven't had that problem. This looks like it would save a lot of money, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great formula, and I like the lemon and the clove. That's my personal favorite essential oil combination, but you could also not use any essential oil, or you could use like peppermint and a eucalyptus or lavender and orange. There's different, with each recipe, I try to give a couple different combinations of scents that you could try.
These look like really good recipes. I've been doing this a while, so I have an idea of what works, and you've got some good ones here. Okay,
so
then what do you wipe your counters with?
I use, it depends. I have granite countertops, so sometimes I will just mix up liquid Castile soap and warm water and use a sponge and wash them down, or I'll mix up my all-purpose cleaner. As well, if I need to disinfect, I'll use a disinfecting cleaner, and I can go into that more. It sounds like we're going to a break.
Yeah, we do need to go to a break. We'll go to the break, and then when we come back, we'll talk about disinfecting, because I know that that's a big question for a lot of people. We're talking today, this is Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and we're talking today with Becky Rapinchuk from CleanMama.net, and her book is The Organically Clean Home. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and today my guest is Becky Rapinchuk of CleanMama.net, and her book is The Organically Clean Home. So, Becky, tell us about disinfectants. I actually looked them up during the break, and I see that you have quite a few for different reasons.
Well, so it depends. I mean, sometimes you're going to need to actually do some disinfecting. So, you can do that naturally. You don't need toxic chemicals to eradicate germs. One of my favorite ways to disinfect is with tea tree oil. And the scent is strong, but after you use it a little bit, you get more used to it. But it definitely does a great job with disinfecting, killing germs. Tea tree oil can also be used to get rid of mold, too. So if you have a little bit of mold, like on your grout in your bathroom, you can spray that, and it will take care of that as well without having to use bleach, which is what people mostly use for that. Sometimes you might need I have a couple different recipes. Some of them are for bathrooms specifically, or just for countertops, or for kitchens. A lot of the disinfecting has to do with the scent, too. Some people don't like the smell of vinegar. It has taken me a while to come around to the smell. Mm-hmm. and if that would be someone like you, you can also use a little bit of vinegar and vodka as well, or rubbing mm-hmm. alcohol. I have a great recipe for the bathroom disinfecting. That's on page 84, and it has vinegar, vodka, lavender, and lemon, essential oil, and water. And I love how that it smells. It's very subtle, and it also does a great job with disinfecting bathroom counters. You could use it in your kitchen as well if you wanted to, but that's a good one.
I just wanted to mention something I wrote in a book that's no longer in print called Home Safe Home. I told a story about I was going through my great aunt's things after her death. It was my responsibility to take care of all of her things. And I found a book. I found a very old book that was about making perfume. And it was published in England in 1927. And in that book, they were talking about how they found that the women that worked in the flower growing districts of France had lower cases of tuberculosis. And so they started looking at this, and they found that there were all these flowers that even just being exposed to them as flowers turned out to be disinfectants. And so there was a list in the book of the most disinfecting plant oils, essential oils, and listed in order of their bactericidal properties. And the highest one, the best one, was cinnamon, and then cloves, verbena, lavender, patchouli, angelica, juniper, sandalwood, cedar, thyme, lemon, pine, wormwood, and extracts of jasmine and tuberose. So any of those essential oils actually could be added to a homemade recipe in order to make it, give it more disinfecting qualities.
Well, that's fascinating too.
Yeah, old research. There's so much, you know, I've been working in this field for more than 30 years, and I was just thinking the other day about how 30 years ago there was information of a certain type that was widely available, and nowadays, even that information from 30 years ago isn't available. And and how that as time goes by, we tend to lose information. And so you think about information like this that is almost 100 years ago. They knew this, and we don't know it now, you know? And so one of the things that I often do when I'm looking for something non-toxic is that I go look at the past, because, I mean, we've only had so many toxic chemicals since the mid-1940s. Not that there wasn't toxic chemicals before that, but the great proliferation of everything being made out of petroleum has only been since the 1940s. And prior to that, people did everything we do today. Well, they didn't have computers, but, you know, they wore clothes and they did their laundry and they cleaned their house and they wrote letters and all these things. And they did everything without those toxic chemicals.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. It was a different world, and this is a different world. But even, you know, I look at how life has changed since I was born. And, you know, we didn't have computers. We didn't have nylon stockings. We didn't have plastic. I'm not that old, but, you know.
Well, but, it's all those, the latest and greatest things, or what you think are the latest and greatest things, I think people are starting to realize that they're actually not so great. It might clean your floor, but it's also going to slowly poison you. And, you know, that's not what you want. So it's,
I should just add here that we were talking earlier about the warning labels and that they are the Poison Control Center and all the things related to toxic chemicals and cleaning products. There's a difference between what is a Poison Control Center is about and, what a Poison Control Center and what those labels are that say caution and poison and all of that. Those are for what are called acute exposures, which means if your child drank it or something like that. But then there's what's called chronic exposure, and that's the day in, day out. You didn't drink the cleaning product, but you're breathing it all the time. And when people are cleaning all the time, they're spreading toxic chemicals throughout their homes. Even if your children aren't cleaning, they're breathing that, and they're breathing it day in and day out. And that it's actually, you know, very few people relatively are going to drink cleaning products. Right. But all of us are being, unless you're using a non-toxic cleaner, everybody is being exposed to all these toxic chemicals day in, day out. The children are being exposed to them. The babies are being exposed to them. The pregnant mothers are being exposed to them. And everybody's being affected by these cleaning products. And so this is something, my research has shown that cleaning products are among the most toxic exposures you have in your home. And to me, it's so easy to change this. It's so easy. It's so inexpensive. That everyone listening today, if you haven't already made the switch to non-toxic cleaning products, you can do it very inexpensively. Just get a copy of Becky's book. Go to her website. Find out. I want to tell everybody that there's, at the top, there's something that's a link that says, Clean Mama Printables. Just go there. I'm clicking on free principles. And let's see, where's the one with the 55 recipes? Is that?
Oh, yeah, and there's a link on my sidebar, too, to that one as
yeah.
well.
Okay, so go where it says the 55 recipes. I'm not finding it at the moment because I'm talking and looking at the same time. But anyway, you can go. It's a free printable, and it has 11 recipes for Castile soap, how to use Castile soap, 11 recipes for how to use baking soda, 11 recipes for, here it is, 55 simple cleaning recipes. I'm clicking on it. And for Castile soap, lemons, borax, vinegar, and baking soda. And for less than $10, probably maybe $15, you could buy those five things. Mm-hmm. On any Saturday, you could read these free principles, and you could follow the instructions. Very easy.
Everybody well, and everything lasts for a long. I mean, you're gonna if you buy baking like a bag of baking soda at Costco, it's like $4 or $5. It will last you
right.
a year or more.
Yeah, and you even know, if you just buy a small box of baking soda, it's like a dollar.
Right.
If you just want to start there. And it's a dollar for a little bottle of vinegar. And it's, I just bought a box of borax. It was $4.99. Lemons are very inexpensive, and Castile soap is maybe $5. So yeah. It's, you can get started. And here's all these instructions for free. And if you like what you see, you can get Becky's book. You can get other things on her website. She's done a really good job of putting these together. So we're almost to, we've got about a minute left. So is there any final words you'd like to say?
Well, thank you so much for having me, and I would encourage anyone that's looking into creating their own cleaning products to also maybe get a glass bottle or a stronger bottle that will last for a little bit for to put your spray cleaners in, and maybe put a cute label on it and own it.
You know, and I'll tell you what I did is that I took my vinegar bottle, which is really heavy glass,
yeah.
and I just took the squirter thing from just any, you can even buy them at the hardware store, and it fit exactly into the small vinegar bottle. And
perfect.
And so as long as I don't drop it, it's very easy. That's what I use to clean my windows.
Yeah.
So we need to go. So thank you so much, Becky.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And being on the show. Yeah. I wish you well with everything that you're doing. Everybody should go to her website and get this free information. Take a look at what she's got, cleanmama.net. And you can also go to toxicfreetalkradio.com to find out more about the upcoming shows, and the past shows are all there to listen to in the archives. Tomorrow we're going to have a special treat because there's a new film coming out. The premiere is on Friday. It's called Unacceptable Levels, and it's all about toxic chemicals. Tomorrow I'm having the filmmaker on, Ed Brown, and he's going to tell us all about making the film and what he learned, and we're going to learn about toxic chemicals. Bye.